All right, this is the first episode of the First Hour podcast. We don't really have a name for it yet. We've tossed around a couple of options, but we'll get into that in a minute. My name is Paul. I'm the host and producer of the podcast. With me is Greg, the founder and, I guess, owner of the First Hour. Greg?
Hello. Hello, everyone.
So Greg, what do you think we should call this podcast? I mean, we've got to have a name for it, right?
You know, I think the First Hour podcast is simple. It's kind of boring, though.
Kind of boring.
One of my thoughts is the First Hour listening hour. Kind of goes together.
The whole hour thing. So are we going to be talking here for an hour?
I hope not. So,
okay.
That was the other thing.
Right.
It's a bit long.
Half a listening hour, maybe listening half.
Something like that.
I was thinking the first hour, the podcast, and then this could be the first, but that could be
it's short, sweet.
Have you listened to Giant Bomb's podcast?
No, I have not.
Well, okay, it's called the Giant Bombcast. Well, they did like 3 or 4 episodes where it was called Arrow Pointing Down, and then they just like changed the name of it 3 episodes in, or something like 3 or 4 episodes in. So we may end up doing the same thing here. Maybe we'll just bounce around names for the first few episodes if we have more than this one.
Definitely.
So for listeners who may not know, Greg, what exactly is the First Hour about?
The First Hour is a video game review site that reviews the first hours of video game. So I started out writing First Hour reviews in July of 2007, and I had been playing God of War 2. And I looked at the clock, and I'm like, I've been playing this game for an hour, and that was just one of the most amazing video game experiences I've ever had.
Nice.
And I decided, I gotta write this down, because, you know, this is just hooked me into the game. I'm loving it. And, you know, ever since then, and we can talk about that particular experience some other time, but ever since then, I mean, I've just been writing first-hour reviews. I think we have over 100 of them on the site, and it's just a great way to get yourself, you know, get to know a game. And oftentimes you'll find yourself playing for half hour, an hour, and you just absolutely hate a game, and you'll put it down forever, whether you return to the video store or you just regret buying it. You know, it happens all the time, but, you know,
yeah.
A lot of times too, you've been playing a game and you're like, wow, this is really fun, and I didn't expect it, but, you know, we got to keep going. So that's what the First Hour is all about. It's about really just ask the question, would I keep playing this game?
Sure.
And, you know, whether we do or not, you know, it's up to us. But I think that it's really helped me analyze games better and play better games in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I started writing, was it July 2009 or so, I think?
Yeah, about then.
Stumbled across the site. The idea of... at first I thought the idea was funny, like reviewing a video game based on only playing the first hour. But then it kind of struck me as, like, it made sense. Like, that's often how we... It's kind of almost like judging a book by its cover, I guess, like by its first chapter or so.
Exactly.
But, you know, how often does that actually happen? Usually if a game is garbage in the first hour, it's not going to suddenly get better from there on out.
Right. I mean, you could compare it to a book or compare it to watching, like, a movie. Like, if you think about a James Bond movie, every James Bond movie starts out with a huge action sequence.
Starts with a bang.
And then, yeah, and then they kind of go into, you know, the actual plot.
Right.
You know, whether the first scene matters to the real movie or not, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just about getting you, you know, hooked into the movie.
Yeah.
The thing with the game is that, you know, it's not 2 hours of your life. It's 10 hours or 50 hours,
yeah,
or 100 hours. So, I mean, if you're playing a Japanese RPG,
it could be the rest of your life.
Yeah. Seems like it sometimes,
yeah,
but talking like 60 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
And, if you're not committed to the game, I mean, it's just going to be an awful experience. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing that we're trying to help, you know, consumers, to help players, gamers, and, you know, if it is, you know, if we can, you know, we can judge a game by an hour. Yeah. It's not always easy and it's not always right, but, you know, games are judged by less, so, you know, why not?
Right. That's true. Cover art.
Yes.
Box quotes. Oh, man. So, what kind of things can we look for? I mean, obviously we write first hour reviews. We have minute by minute, or, you know, yep, more or less, pretty blow by blow account of the first hour. But we write other stuff, full reviews for games that we've completed. And we lately we've been having theme months. What was it? November was all licensed games.
Yep.
Which we had noticed that we didn't really play very many licensed games, because, you know, the general idea is that they're not worth playing. Some studio rushed it out in 6 months to cash in on a movie coming out or something like that. But we played a month's worth of licensed games. I think we found a couple that were actually worth playing.
Yeah, there's a few. I think we had a fun month, though. I mean, we weren't just doing movie licensed games. We were doing Volkswagen Beetle licensed games.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, so it was fun.
So what kind of... we got a couple of February's Indie Games Month. You've got a few reviews... a few indie games reviews lined up there. What, you got six games?
Yeah, we've got six games. Some of the highlights I'm looking forward to that month is playing Gratuitous Space Battles by Tech Games. I've been working, I can't remember his last name, but so I won't even say his name at all, but I've worked with him a few times on a couple of his games, not, you know, worked on the game, but, you know, reviewing them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've really liked what this guy produces. It's a one-man team. He used to work for Lionhead.
Okay.
Worked on a couple of Lionhead games. I know for sure he worked on the movies.
Yeah, and the movies.
So, I mean, this guy worked with Peter Molyneux,
right,
which is,
right,
he's one of the, you know, the icons in the industry, for better or worse.
Right.
So he's a cool guy, and he's got a cool history, and Gertrude of Space Battles looks like an awesome game. So.
I didn't realize that was a one-man operation doing that.
Yep. I think he gets some help with music or maybe some,
sure,
art every once in a while, but,
sure,
you know, he's doing all the core development.
Cool. So what other themes do we have coming up?
Well, tentatively in March we have Harvest Moon Month.
Right, Harvest Moon.
You know, this is kind of a niche series, definitely, but, you know, I think most gamers have heard of Harvest Moon, and, I mean, you farm and you date girls and you marry them or whatever. You know, it's a curious series, and there's a lot to talk about. I've been playing it for, you know, 12 years or whatever, however long they've been making games, so I know that you've played a couple of them too.
Sure.
So
yeah,
there's, you know, the series is really, you know, in some ways it's evolved quite a bit, you know, since the original game on the Super Nintendo, but in other ways there's so many things that
exactly
haven't changed.
Exactly the same.
So, you know, it's definitely a series that, you know, it doesn't really try new things very often, and when it does, they usually name it something else,
right,
like RuneFest. So,
yeah.
There's a lot, you know, we'll have some that month.
Yeah, what always intrigues me, I guess, or piques my interest about Harvest Moon is that it doesn't, like, on paper, it sounds like the most boring game ever, pretty much, and
right,
then, except for maybe, like, you know, some of the Ubisoft game, pets games or whatever, but but I mean, I like them, you know. They're fun to play, and they don't, when you line them up with the other games that I enjoy playing, it doesn't make sense, but somehow they've still got something going on there. And I guess, I mean, it's kind of like an RPG in a way, and it kind of a little bit like a strategy game, I guess, and that maybe that's,
yeah,
what intrigues me. So but it'll definitely be fun to delve into that and write some thoughts down.
Yeah, I've wanted to talk about this series for so long, and
exactly,
it's always so hard to I mean, I've done a... I did the first hour review of the original game. It was one of my first reviews I did.
Right.
And, you know, I knew going in that it wasn't going to be a fun review.
Right.
So it was going to kind of contrast what we've seen from, like, God of War 2 or
sure.
Indigo Prophecy. And this was just going to be a boring first hour where you had to talk to everyone. And I'm sure that turned a lot of people off. I mean, even if they could get past the idea of a farming simulator,
right.
And playing it, I mean, but it was just... Yeah, it's not for everyone, especially the first game. You know, a few things have changed, but you still kind of see that original first hour in the series today. I mean, you're this outsider that, you know, comes to town, and you're given a ranch, and you're given a dog, and then you're walked around town and introduced to everyone. I mean, that's one thing in the series that just, you know, hasn't changed over the years, so.
Yeah, yeah. I have found they've tried to spark the very beginning a little bit more in the newer games. They take a little less time, like they throw you into a problem, like into the plot a little more before you have to learn all the farming stuff. But anyway, that'll come out more during our run.
Yeah.
So and then you have a was this Western month? What is that about? Is that Western.
I really don't know if that's going to happen,
okay.
But, you know, I was playing Red Dead Revolver, the first hour of that, in December, and I think the review would have gone up sooner, and then I kind of realized that the sequel, Red Dead Redemption, will be released in April, early April, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, didn't it just get pushed back?
Well, that might ruin our...
Yeah. I can't remember if it was that... It seems like it was that one, but it may have just been a week or two.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. No, it says April 27th,
okay,
so
okay.
I believe it's gone from early April to late April.
Yeah, that must have been what it was. Okay, anyway.
You know, I kind of looked... There's an iconic game in my gaming history that I played a lot, and that was Sunset Riders, which I think you said it perfectly the other day. It was basically a Western Contra.
Yeah, Cowboy Contra.
Cowboy Contra.
Right.
That's even better. So...
Alliteration, you know.
And, you know, I'm kind of like, well, I played that, and I also own Call of Juarez, never mm-hmm. played it, you know, I could try that one out. My brother-in-law is lending me Gun for an extended period of time, so, I mean, there's plenty of Western games out there, and over the past few years, they've been kind of like a little niche, you know,
yeah.
Third-person action-adventure kind of game, so.
They've been trying.
There's also Outlaws by LucasArts. That was
stuff
that one Star Wars Dark Forces engine.
Yes,
so.
It was built as a spaghetti western shooter.
Yes. So I mean, there's you know, if we do it, there's a lot of western games out there.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid that if we do too many theme months in a row, we're gonna kind of, you know, get off track. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's true.
Since the game was pushed back to May, maybe we can push the month back.
Yeah, because we have February, March, and then that would be April lined up there.
The game was pushed back to late April, so
we could do it
in May or something, but yeah, we'll see.
Sure. Okay. So any hints on what reviews or write-ups you may be working on right now for you? Is that
Well, I'm not sure when this will exactly go up, but I've played a ton of first hours that are just kind of queued up.
Uh-huh.
I've got Mario Galaxy, Twilight Princess,
ooh.
Burnout Paradise, Saboteur, uh-huh. Assassin's Creed 2, Bionic Commando. I think that's all the first hours I've actually played, but have not been posted yet.
Wow.
So
you did play Bionic Commando then?
Yeah, so what we're going to do with that is kind of cool. I think it was in late 2007 or 2008 I played Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden. So I played a half hour of Ninja Gaiden on the NES and then a half hour of Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox, original Xbox, yeah. So they're both games are called Ninja Gaiden, so it was kind of like, well, you know, now I can do this for a couple other games. There's Bionic Commando and Bionic Commando, the original NES game, and then the new one that came out either last year or the year before. And then there's Sid Meier's Pirates and Sid Meier's Pirates.
I always liked that one.
There's a couple other Splatterhouse and Splatterhouse. Uh-huh. There's a new Splatterhouse game coming out in, I think, this year, maybe next.
Yeah, their studio got a shake-up, but I think
the game is still in development.
Yeah, I think so.
If it is, I'd love to do it. Splatterhouse has always been one of those games I've wanted to play, the original.
Really?
I used to get, I think, like Game Players Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And since I grew up owning Nintendo systems, it's like, whoa, this game is really bloody, but it's only on a Genesis. So.
Right.
I guess the point I was making, though, is that, I played the first half hour of Bionic Commando, so I'd like to play...
Okay.
Kind of go back into my own history and play the first half hour of the original Bionic Commando, which I played a couple times growing up. So, but we got a lot of content, and that's just first hour reviews. Of course, we'll be doing a first hour Mass Effect 2 when that comes out.
Oh, really?
If you couldn't guess.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple other games that I'd really like to try doing a first hour for. Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
I think the original or the newer one. I played the first few hours of the first Chronicles of Riddick during college, and I thought it was an amazing kind of first hour. I mean, I wasn't thinking of it at that time, but
right.
It's kind of cool what it did. And then it kind of went to a traditional first-person shooter, and then I quit playing it. So, the first hour is not always right.
Right. if the developers are really gunning for it, they can throw all their best stuff in the first hour and then just go from there. But that's not...
Yeah, they can impress us. And...
Right. But that's not usually how it works, because that's not how they really sell their stuff. But anyway. Personally, I've got... I cashed in on the holiday Steam... sale. Spent way too much money on a bunch of games that I didn't necessarily need, but we'll be doing a writing up first hours for Max Payne, some of the LucasArts adventures. I'm not sure which ones I'm going to do yet. There's The Dig and Loom, both of which I've always kind of wanted to play, because I've always been a fan of LucasArts adventure games. And then, soon, hopefully, I'll be getting up a full review for Spirit Tracks, Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks on the DS. Playing that right now, as I believe you are still.
Yes, I actually beat the fifth temple today.
Nice.
So.
Wasn't the ending kind of epic? Oh, I guess we don't want to give away spoilers, huh? maybe mild spoiler alert in case anything does happen, but I'm actually at the final boss right now.
Oh, cool. The spoilers are the final boss in the game.
Right,
so.
And spoilers, it's really hard.
Oh, cool. That's good to know. I kind of like hard bosses.
Yeah, I mean...
As long as they're not obnoxious.
It's almost obnoxious. Did you find the boss of the temple you just beat obnoxious?
It just took a little longer than I would have liked, I guess. I didn't really get hurt at all, but it was more, it was more of a strategy boss.
Yeah.
Getting things lined up to how you want to hit them, so,
exactly.
Maybe someday we can actually talk about that, but...
Right. One interesting thing about this game is that... Okay, so I've played, like, every Legend of Zelda game, and I haven't beaten all of them, but it got to the point where, like, even with Wind Waker, but Twilight Princess 2, they weren't hard, because I already knew how to play them, and,
mm-hmm.
For a newcomer to the series, yeah, it would have been hard, but to me, it was kind of, a walk in the park, and a little disappointing, but this game, because of the completely different control scheme... It was basically it was just as hard for me as it would be for somebody picking it up for the first time, Maybe I have a little bit better handle on how the puzzles work and things like that, but even there they threw some curveballs. But as far as the controls and the action, I don't know, there was a lot. I guess if I hadn't played much of Phantom Hourglass before, maybe if I was had, you know, played through that and beaten it, then I would have had a better handle on it. But I don't know, the controls don't seem like they're the kind that you can get really good at. You know, it's just touching the screen.
Yeah, I mean, even to this day, I want to touch the menu button to change weapons, and Link runs off a cliff or something.
Yeah, exactly. I fumble around and touch the wrong place.
So, I mean, with the series on the DS, you're fighting the controls a bit.
A little.
But I think they enhance the game so much that...
It's worth it. I mean, the 3D games, you were never fighting the controls. They always worked with you. But with the... I mean, I thought even, like, Link to the Past and stuff, it's not so much you were... I don't know if you were really fighting the controls, but you could never really get him to do exactly what you wanted. Like, you know, he could only face in four directions and stuff like that. And so how do you really hit that enemy coming at you at an angle and stuff like that? And so I feel that the touch controls give you just as much control as you had in the older 2D games, and probably a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would personally go that far.
Really?
But I think, you know, for what they are, I really like them. And if you would have told me 5 years ago that I'd be playing a Zelda game using just the stylus, then I would still enjoy it. You know, I'd be, I don't know, like slapping you or something. So
well, I'll tell you.
I can't complain.
And was it GDC that they showed the first trailer for Spirit Tracks, right? Earlier in 2009.
Yeah, that would have been March or something.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke. I literally thought, wow, Nintendo has a sense of humor. You know, they're getting up, they're showing a funny trailer about Link riding on a choo-choo train. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And then as it went on, I'm pretty sure I was either watching a like live footage of it, or I was reading a live blog. I think I was reading a live blog of it. And what does that say about me, man? I was at work too. Anyway,
I've done that. Yeah. So really.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke, and as it went on, like as the trailer progressed, and I was like, they put a lot of work into this for it to just be a joke. And then as who was giving the presentation? Was that Iwata?
I think I don't remember exactly. It probably was either him or Al Nomar.
Anyway, yeah, as he started talking about it, I'm like, they're serious. I'm like, they've got that evening, like, I had a bit of a, like, rant to my wife about it. Like, I can't believe they're doing this. Like, taking Link and putting him on a train and being like, hey, you know, little kids, Link, train, it'll be fun. You go choo-choo, all that stuff like that, you know? And, so if at that point you had said, you know, you're going to play this game through and you're going to, like, enjoy it more than any game you've played recently, I would have done the same, so... Yeah.
You know, I was never really worried about the direction of the game, but now that I'm actually, you know, now that I'm actually playing it, part of it, you know, I miss the freedom of sailing around that, you know, that was present in Wind Waker and Phantom.
Yeah, there's that.
But, I mean, the general, you know, dungeon action is so solid, and you know, it's just riding around a train is not as fun as I imagined it would be.
Actually, like, I really don't mind it that much. Do you remember on Wind Waker? You may not have had this experience the same as me, but on the boat, like the first time you get in the boat and you're sailing, and you can press that squishy R button and the boat will jump. And it just has this feel to it. Like, the way the button feels when you push it and the way the boat reacts just has this feel to it. And as I would sail around, I would just be jumping because it was fun to do. Maybe that's weird, but I know my brother has a similar tale with that. So, well, they nailed the exact same thing with the whistle on the train, and it seems so silly. And that's what I was ranting about, basically, is, you know, oh, you get to be on a train, what do? Get to blow the whistle, choo-choo, yeah, woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I do, like, I'm on the train, and I blow the whistle, and, you know, in different patterns, and I hold it as long as I can, and on GameSpot, actually, they have the review of it. It starts off with the guy saying, while you play this game, you're going to find yourself making the classic, like, choo-choo noise with the whistle because it's so much fun. And I was like, I actually read that review after playing the game quite a bit, and I was like, that's exactly what I do. And so, like, they nailed something, even if it's not, you know, exactly what you were looking for.
I was blowing the whistle, too, and it's all fun. I mean, my problem with it is that you're getting... There's, like, enemies every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're constantly fighting them off, and sometimes you just want to let the train go. I mean, you draw the path of where you wanted the train to go, so you don't have to worry about turning or, you know, switching tracks or whatever.
Right.
But then, you know, you got snowmen popping out every 10 seconds, throwing snowballs and throwing their heads at you.
Have you done many of the side quests?
No.
Okay. You open up a lot of new tracks by doing side quests. And that does two things. First of all, it has that renewed sense of adventure, like, oh man, here are new tracks I've never been on before. Maybe nobody's ever been on before. And they actually did a really good job with that. Like, you'll go in the new tracks and you'll see new scenery, and I get this feeling like, hey, I've never seen that before. Or more often, it'll be something that you've seen from a distance. And it's just, like, scenery way off in the distance, but now you've unlocked this track that goes right, like, over this canyon or over this lake or through this mountain that before you could just see in the distance, and you're like, hey, I can get here now.
Sure.
And it doesn't even give you any new, like, air levels or anything like that, but it will give you, like, maybe a shortcut. It'll cut off some rail that you don't have to make a huge loop around. You can go straight now or something like that. And also, a lot of those don't have enemies on them. So, like, I know what you're talking about, but the point I've done almost pretty much all the side quests I can find that I've found so far that I know of. And, I don't really have that problem anymore. Like, most of the trips I'll only encounter enemies, like, once.
Okay, well, you know, the catch 22 is that if you want to unlock more tracks, you have to, you know, drive around
a lot. Yes, you do. I definitely put in my time with that. Like I said, I've enjoyed this game more than any game I've played for a long time.
Good. That's good though.
Yeah. So, the whip is actually what did it for me. Seeing the trailer with the whip, I said, I've got to have that game. Like, the second trailer I think I saw for it, I was like, the first trailer, basically all they showed was the train. And just maybe tacked on, I think they tacked on, like, the boss fight at the end or something, the first boss fight. But the second trailer showed more of the, like, dungeon stuff. And I was like, okay, well, it's going to still have that. It's not just driving around on a train. It's not just, Engineer Link. It's a traditional Zelda game. That's just the new gimmick. Okay, maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Well, the third trailer they released for it, it showed him with the whip swinging across the pit, and I was like, okay, I'm getting that game, because ever since the grappling hook with Wind Waker, I've always wanted Link to have a whip. Because the grappling hook was fun to use, but it wasn't smooth enough. Like, you had to go into first-person view, you had to find your target, then there was a cutscene of him throwing it, then you were swinging. The swinging part was fun, swinging across the pit and letting go on the other side, or swinging back and forth on it. But it was too complicated to actually to be smooth and cool, you know? And I was like, he should have a whip where he just, you know, this is what they did, where you just tap what you want to swing on and he just, like, whips it and swings across. So when I saw that, I was pretty much sold, and then I saw the final, like, I guess it was a TV spot or something. I think I saw it on the Spirit Tracks site, but of playing the flute, the spirit flute, by blowing into the microphone. And I was just like, wow, they've really come up with some clever ideas here.
I don't know how Nintendo keeps doing it.
I don't either.
Every time they do something new, and it's always fun.
Yeah,
Speaking of the whip, I thought that was like a spoiler. I never watched a trailer for the game, so I had no idea that.
I assume
the whip was even in it.
I don't. I mean, because it was on the trailer, I I don't.
No, no, I didn't. I mean, that's, you know, that's legit then.
I think it might be in the instruction manual, actually. For example, remember when...
I don't read those.
Okay, remember when you and I were talking to try to figure out how you haul freight before we had gotten the freight car? Well, I was like, for some reason I decided to peruse the instruction manual that later that evening, and it says you get a freight car to haul freight in. I was like, oh man.
It says I used to be obsessed with reading instruction manuals. I remember the day I got Mario Kart 64, I had to like read the entire thing, even though I'd played Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo to death.
So. Right. I love a good instruction manual, but lately I've not been impressed, even by Spirit Tracks, I have to say. That's one downside to Spirit Tracks that I might have to dock at a point. The instruction manual just didn't grab me.
That's too bad. Yeah, it really failed me. I didn't even pull it out of the box ever.
I did. I was hoping it would be good. And I in the past, I've enjoyed Zelda instruction manuals.
No, I remember
Wind Waker.
I used to do like carbon copying of like players' guides and stuff, and like draw them. And you know, it was really stupid, but I remember doing that all the time in my old Link's Awakening one. So.
Oh man, I loved the Link's Awakening instruction manual.
Yeah, it was a lot of great art.
Very awkward. There was the same artwork in Link to the Past, only it wasn't so revealing. Anyway, when I was too old to be doing it, probably too old to admit, when I was a teenager, I actually had this club online, and it was a Zelda club, and I was like in charge of design. I don't know why, but because I didn't know any design. I learned web design and graphic design for that. Like that's what got me not even just interested, but even to know that you could even do that, like how it was done. But I was scanning the Wind Waker and the I had the Wind Waker instruction manual and the instruction manual to the Zelda Collector's Edition, which had art from Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and a couple others. Scanning those and then cutting them out in a very, very basic photo editing program to put on the site as decorations. But I did open the Spirit Tracks instructions before playing, and I glanced through and I was like, eh, whatever. It wasn't that interesting. Maybe I should have read about the freight car, but anyway.
So Spirit Tracks, good game so far. I would recommend it. Would you?
Highly. But anyway, the review coming soon, once I beat it, I guess. I actually have it in sleep mode right now, plugged into the charger, because I'm in the middle of the final boss battle, and haven't had time to get back into it yet, so...
Hey, am I going to be disappointed?
No. Well, unless there's, like, another form. But I don't think so. I think this is at the very end, because I've already gone through other parts, so...
Okay, cool.
I don't want to spoil anything for you or the listeners, but...
I was at Half Price Books. I don't know if you have them in your area, but it's just a bookstore that all the books are half price from the manufacturer's, you know, retail price or whatever. But they also have computer games. I was going there. I wanted to pick up the Prince of Persia computer game.
Right.
Like the new one.
Sure.
Because last time I was there, they had it for like $5.
Sweet. And
I'm like, should I buy this? I'm like, well, I never play computer games, but I wish I would have. But they didn't have it, but they did have Wave Race 64 for $1.
$1, nice, can't beat that.
Yeah, so I figure I'll head back to Dolphin Park and ride the dolphin or something, so.
Do you have a working N64?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Mine's still at my parents' house.
I've got working everything, so.
Nice. I didn't play much on the N64, actually.
It's too bad. It's one of my favorite systems.
It's like, okay, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, I played. I played Mario 6... I played all the good games, like Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, things like that. But, like, when I go back and look... I've gone back and looked at the library of games on the 64 to see what I've been missing and see maybe I could, you know, go back and play some. It's not impressive at all.
What? No, that's wrong.
Besides those games, there's nothing good on it at all.
Okay, we can talk about this in depth some other day, but I'm looking at my N64 collection right now.
Okay, just tell me what you got that you'd recommend then.
Super Smash Brothers.
Okay, I had that. Okay,
Diddy Kong Racing, Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Puzzle League, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Blast Corps, Shadows of the Empire was fun, Star Fox 64, the most quotable game ever,
yes.
Mischief Makers, Harvest Moon 64, that's just a smattering from my collection, so...
Okay, I guess I should clarify, I've played... most of those as well. I played Star Fox 64, which I love. Shadows of the Empire, I enjoyed. Harvest Moon 64 is possibly my favorite Harvest Moon. What else did you say? GoldenEye and Perfect Dark were good for their time, but they've been complete... Like, when you go back and play them, if there's no nostalgia, there's nothing, basically.
I would agree they didn't age... You know, perfectly. But
I mean, they were really good at the time, but it's not the time anymore. Anyway, basically, any first-person shooter you play now is going to be better than those, just because they set that standard, you know, and they've followed since. Banjo-Kazooie, it was fun, but I couldn't get all the way through it. I don't know. So it's not. And I loved Super Smash Brothers, I have to say. Funny story. When I was, 15 or 16, I don't know how old I was. Shortly after Super Smash Brothers came out, I guess. However old I was at the time. My younger sister was born at that time. And so my parents went to the hospital and, They got us up to tell us that they were leaving. Of course, it's at night because all babies are born at night for some reason. I mean, all labor starts at night. The babies might not be born until later, but anyway, it's just how it happens. So my grandparents were driving in to stay with us while my parents were in the hospital, but it was going to be a couple hours till they got there. We had like these couple of hours of unallotted. Unsupervised time, and it's like they probably left at like 11 something at night, and me and my brother played a stock 99 match and just played the match out until my grandparents got there. I mean, I think we'd finished the match before they got there, but it was so much fun. it's ridiculous because it's kind of like NASCAR, you know, driving 500 laps or however many they do. It's like, why not just drive like 5 laps?
Right.
So 99 stock is like playing, you know, basically the same as stock 3, except you're exhausted by the end of it and you really don't even want to be playing anymore. So it completely changes the dynamic of who's winning. Like, whoever's enjoying doing this more is winning.
I loved that game, but after I played Melee for 1,000 hours, I could not go back to the original. So,
yeah, it's one of the Melee improved it in almost every way. The only thing I regret about Melee is a couple of the moves that they changed lost the feeling. And I know it's hard to explain what I mean by the feeling of like a move on a game, but I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you do a move and it just feels right if it's done well. And then if it's done really well, the move will actually feel cool when you do it. Not just look cool, but it feels cool. Anyway, a couple of those were Pikachu's forward throw and Link's smash attack. Well, they changed...
Actually, I was just imagining Link's smash attack while you're
describing
that.
Okay, that's it. How he did a little sword spin and then the cut with it, and then Pikachu's little forward flip. When you do a forward throw, you do like that. You'd flip over their head and then flip them over, and it just had this like coolness to it. It just felt right. And Melee, they changed both of those. Pikachu's forward throw became he threw him on his back and shocked him, which had previously been his back throw. And then Link's Smash Attack became like a very generic sword slice, but it had the follow up cut that you could do. Which was good, but it lost the feel of the original. And I guess they couldn't really have the little him flipping his sword because you could charge up the move, so that wouldn't work with the animation. Anyway. And then Brawl, they changed that again. Apparently they could just never settle on what Link's Smash Attack should be. Because like everybody else's moves are like the same from game to game. Their main moves, and Link's Smash Attack is different on everyone. That's about it for this podcast. Somebody really wants to write, like, I don't know, email us or something, you can...
Email us. Email me at greg@firsthour.net or paul@firsthour.net, so...
Yeah, whoever you want to talk to.
You can also follow us on Twitter. I don't know if you're going to get to that, but we got... First Hour, that's me on Twitter, and then if you want to share yours, you can tell it now, otherwise you can choose not to share.
I can't even remember what my Twitter username is. I update it, but I don't... I think it's Paul Eastwood, isn't it?
I believe so.
Man, I don't even know. And then, of course, the site itself is firsthour.net.
Yep.
For those of you who don't already know.
Updating Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right early at 6 a.m.
That's Greg, I'm Paul, and we're out. The song for this podcast is Plot Title Jam by Maze Dude, courtesy of OC Remix.